and the Lord's put in my heart, Holy Ghost just says we're going to revisit and expand in this section of scripture that we were in last week. We had the purposed and the purpose. And so many times prior through all of our studies here, I don't know if this is number 15 or 16 or whatever it is, but I thank God. I pray it never ends. I know it never will. And this is to the praise of His glory forever. So as we turn back, I want us to think of, and Lord, encourage our hearts, in this one incredible, just few verses, this little passage, we have an all-inspiring inheritance. And He gives us this in such waves, and truly this double portion of the purpose of His desire. And I thank the Lord for it. So let's go ahead and read back again, verses 5 through 12. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. And I want us to understand this. That word children there is not technon. It doesn't mean a baby. What's it? The envisionment here is sons. It's not huios either. But it also has a connotation that this is a grown son. So this was always the purpose of what God would have for us, that we would be those sons of glory, those mature sons, that it says that all of creation groaneth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That moment's upon us. And this is, praise the Lord, what everything was made for. I mean, really fathom what the Lord is saying there. All of creation groaneth for the manifestations of the things of God. You find that there in Romans 8 as you come through that. And to think that is God and His purpose of us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So all of these things that go on. And, you know, here we are in this little bitty moment of time in this history of man or whatever it is. And we can get so consumed with, you know, the present. You understand what I'm saying? And yet, let the Word of God be your present. And your present meaning your gift, your crowning, as well as the present time as well, too. And how wonderful it is. But see, this is where it's essential for faith. It's essential that we would build ourselves up on the most holy faith, this most set apart. And I thank God that that's exactly what the bridal message does. It sets you apart, doesn't it? It sets you apart from it. And, you know, I was rejoicing. I think the Lord will bring a sermon on it. But thinking about how the Lord Jesus said to them, I'm sending you another comforter. And boy, I'll tell you what, if any time we've ever needed comfort, we need it now, don't we? Okay, well, what did He give us as that comforter? You think about it. It's the Holy Ghost, isn't it? So see, we need that Holy Ghost, that comforter, and He sent Him purposely. He's been with you and He shall be in you. You need that infilling of the Holy Ghost. And there's a comfort in that. There's a power, and there's a great comfort when we speak those mysteries unto God. But the greatest comfort that the Holy Ghost brings is He takes all the things of Christ, He makes them yours. When you have this, the riches of His glory, that knowledge and that knowledge of the inheritance of God and who you are to Him in this glory realm, praise the Lord, that's a comfort that comforts beyond anything. There isn't anything that can compare with that. It's not worthy to be compared. And so that is what the Holy Ghost does. When we talk about I need comfort or I need peace or I need, it's the Holy Ghost. Listen to Him minister, yea, the deep things of God by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that marvelous? So it just all flows, doesn't it, again? There's nothing more perfect than the Word of God. Nothing more perfect than the Word of God. And that's why we fill up with it, oh, the perfection that comes into our lives. Now, it says, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. See, this is all about God's pleasure. This is all about Him being pleased. Praise the Lord. Because He's God. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Praise God. It's all going to be to that praise of the glory of His grace. See, by the grace of God, this message, hallelujah, makes us that praise of the glory of His grace. There's going to be a praise, hallelujah, in that midst of that throne. There's going to be a praise in the presence of that midst of that throne, because he's going to have his glory. And that's why all of these things make so much emphasis to our hearts. It's to the praise of the glory of his grace. Hallelujah. It's okay. We can praise the Lord tonight, even if it echoes in here. There's just a few. But we thank the Lord for it. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us. See, it's done. Accepted in the beloved. Those are bridal words. In the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Once again, done. The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. That is a foundational truth. It's done. Move on. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He gets right into it, doesn't it? It's all about the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, isn't it? Praise God. This is exactly the focal point. And here it is. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Praise be to God. Gives you such a peace that passes all understanding to know that we are in him and we are his workmanship. Praise God. Created in Christ Jesus. I just love that. We're in him. Hallelujah. Those good works in him. It's not of us. It's all in him. It's all up to him. And by faith, we just believe him. So having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when it's all wrapped up, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated again according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Hallelujah. Now that is something there, brothers and sisters. This is a passage explaining in just a few verses the full sonship revealed to Paul. But going back here to verse 9. You think about this, having made known. Think of all the ways that he says it here. It's having made known, hath abounded, we have been given, we have obtained. God is an encourager. He is an encourager. He wants you to know who you are. He doesn't mess around. That's what was finished, praise be to God, in his Son. That's the power of the resurrection of Christ Jesus himself. This is the Holy Ghost power. This is what this has done and delivered and given you. Once again, we have, he's hath abounded, having made known, having obtained, we have been given. And what is it all? The fullness of all wisdom and understanding of his desire. Yes. God said, I have abounded to you in all wisdom and understanding of what I desire. That's what God has done. That's why Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost, inspired in Paul's heart, that we may know the love of Christ. When you know the love of somebody, you know their desire. And this is a God that God is love. And here is what he tells you. This is the good pleasure of my will, and I have abounded to you in all wisdom and understanding of it, to know what I desire. This is God. This isn't a story. This is truth. This is everlasting. This is what will always and only be. And I thank the Lord that this is a God who so freely has given us all things to enter into the fullness of all of it. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that we do have this. Just believe the word of God. Lord, help our unbelief. Don't let me hesitate in the understanding that you've already given. And in this, of his good pleasure and his desire, and this, again, because of the purpose, it's he will set forth that which is in him in plain view. And it literally means to present her to himself. You think from the very beginning, it couldn't be any more obvious. The very first analogy of this or metaphor of this is we had that sleep that came upon Adam. And what was spoken of the Godhead that put that sleep upon Adam, it is not good for man to live alone. This wasn't just about organizing a family. It wasn't. These are the deep things of God that are right there. And once again, how God did it, how God could speak everything into existence, but then he gets to man. He says, oh no, I'm going to make him with my own hands. I'm going to breathe into him. I'm going to put my lips on him. I'm going to kiss him with the kisses of my mouth. Huh? That's what God does with man. If you want it, he's right there. You should have chills all over the place. Thanking the Lord. But then here he comes to this wife. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's who she's going to be. And God, in his miraculous, beautiful ways with us, in the hidden, woven mysteries throughout the Old Testament that are revealed, I should say, from what was made known to Paul. We can see, whether it was the Thessalonians that Paul was writing the letter to, or whoever it would be, that he said, you know what? Don't be asleep in the night. Don't be drunken in the night. All right? We're not the children of the night. We're the children of the day. And we need to be alert and alive and awake. And the reason is because a wife is going to be taken out. Paul spoke of the out resurrection. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. How many times do people just read through that, read over that? Wow, that's kind of an interesting thing, the resurrection of the dead. We need to search those things out. You'll find that word only one time in the Word of God. That word is the out resurrection. That word, praise God, means that there will be a resurrection out from the resurrection. Right there, even if that was the only thing that the Lord gave us. But he said in Corinthians, every man in his own order, every man in his own rank. Praise God. Then he tells us about a glory of the sun and a glory of the moon, and one star differeth from another in glory. We get to Revelation, we see different companies in heaven at different times. And we see the very first companies right there in the midst of the throne. And then after that, you see companies that are further away from the throne. That's right. So right back to this, brothers and sisters, there is a mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I thank the Lord, we are here tonight, that he is going to take that rib portion out of the church, just like he took the rib portion out of Adam while he was asleep. And that's why I speak to people, and I'm telling you, people that have heard this truth for many years, that somehow, some way, still don't truly understand the privilege that we have. Yeah. The grace that has been given to us. Yeah. And I'm not trying to puff myself up. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Gold, silver, and precious stone is rare. Wood, hay, and stubble's all over the place. And it never ceases to sadden my heart and amaze my heart that people that have heard this, still, just in a way, take it for granted. God help us not to be there. God help us to understand the treasure. This is the goodly pearl gospel. This is what he gave his son for. This is what the merchant sold all that he had for. This is the pearl of great price. I'm going to have her. And God has made that known unto you. And so, this slumber that is on the church right now is a slumber. Churches do not preach this. They don't. They don't want to preach this, or they would. It's just the truth. It's not exclusively here, but I'm telling you, I'm getting to believe that there are only a handful left that are preaching this message. But it shouldn't be of surprise. It says at this time that it said men would not endure sound doctrine. They would give over to lusting ears, tickling their ears. all these different winds of doctrine, something that would make you feel good, or where you fit, or where you think this suits better in your life. Overcomers overcome. That's what they do. And I'll tell you what, it is a fight, and it is a good fight of faith. And if you ever, I'll tell you one thing, you ever come into this place and you don't think you're fighting, you better talk to your pastor, because he ain't preaching it enough. We're all fighting, and I know it. And I thank God it's a good fight of faith. So there it is. And that rib portion is going to be taken out just like it was for Adam while he was asleep. And when there it is, she's made a full body, a woman, a wife. Praise God. And she was presented to the husband. And this is what we're waiting for. And this is what this literally means. This first purposed means to present to himself. And that is so sweet to know that it is not good for man to live alone. Let me tell you something. God said to his son, you're going to have your wife. That's exactly what that meant. And we trust God for it. Now, let's go on here. And it says here, the Lord, again, will take out a people for his name's sake. And brothers and sisters, this is going on right now because this is the church age. And that's where we find that from. Turn on over to Acts chapter 15, verse 14. And I appreciated this. This was sweet Barnabas that was testifying of this. And it says in Acts 15, verse 14. Get there. It says, Simeon hath declared how God at the first, and that word first, it means first rank, by the way. I love that. It's the first rank. This is what it is. At the first rank did visit the Gentiles. That's what this was all about. This is what this time is all about. To take out of them a people for his name's sake, all right? And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this, the Lord says, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof and I will set it up. So see, that's after he'll have his wife. Yes, amen. The word of God always flows so perfectly. So again, it's for his name. And that's what's so sweet about this. At first, and for his name, basically there's a similar meaning in there. For his name means for his rank or for his authority. That's what he's going to have, a rank or authority that's given. And you think about that name. See, that's what a namesake does. When a man would marry a woman, she would come into joint ownership with him. That's the way it is supposed to work. That they would be not one over the other. They would esteem one another equally, that she would be his glory and lifted up and exalted in that. That's why she would be his rank, and she would also have that authority. Now, does that start to ring true that the wife, that one that will win him, joint heirs with Jesus Christ? See, joint heirs with Jesus Christ and glorified together with him. So there will be that ruling and reigning together with him, that joint authority with him. Amen. Praise God. And glorified together with him. I'll tell you what, that's the rank of glory and full glory. And she will have that with him because the woman is the glory of man. And so in this namesake, we see that the wife takes the name of the husband. Think of the Church of Philadelphia. He said, I will write upon you my new name. Amen. And it's a name that is not known, but we know that name because that name is bridegroom. You take the name of that husband. And I testified of it many times with my mother after my daddy went to heaven, as she was sitting there at the table, and here she had the letterhead out on there, and she was rubbing her hand across it. I didn't know what she was doing. She was just in a gaze and a daze and all this. I said, Mama, what are you doing? She said, isn't that a beautiful name? Mrs. John O'Dorcio. And she just kept rubbing her hand on it. And all I could think of that, isn't that a beautiful name? the wife of the Lamb. Praise God, the Lamb's wife. Hallelujah. So there we go. And then if you go to Ephesians 5:27, think about this glory that he presents to himself. And the Lord talks about this. We'll read from the 25th verse of Ephesians 5. And this is true. But this is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for us. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. All right? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And this is the reason for it. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. And I always go back to Ephesians 3:21 because, yes, the church is glorious, but when we're speaking of this glorious church that he's going to present to himself, after Paul's prayer there in this sweet encouragement about knowing the love of Christ, the very last verse of chapter 3, verse 21, it says, unto him be glory in the church. See, we want to be that glory in the church. Amen. We want to be that glorious rib portion to him in the church. This is this glorious church that he will present to himself, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Go on over to Corinthians chapter 11 and you'll understand about the chaste virgin unto him. See, all of this comes together. This is why we need to rightfully divide the word of God and understand by the grace of God that taking, you know, all of chapter 3 and understanding where the pinnacle of that verse would be and what the meanings of these things are. And this is where we come to and we thank the Lord. This is his purpose. Esther was presented, praise God, to the king, wasn't she? Yes, she was. Praise the Lord. He would call for her to be presented to himself, all right? And then he would place her in plain view for all to see. Okay? So there is that completeness there with all of these different things. And see, we need to take this. You think about Vashti. She was called his queen. Yes, she was. So we know that the king presented her to himself, but when the king wanted to present her and make her in plain view to all, she didn't want that. I want what he wants. I don't want to be replaced. I want to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And I thank the Lord that we have this. So here we have this beautiful encouragement revealed to us. And brothers and sisters, this is us soon. I hope you really know this. The Lord and the Holy Ghost is ministering. This is you. This is your life. This is us right now at this cusp. Praise be to God. This is all going to transpire. I thank the Lord that I can testify to different ones that are starting to get real nervous in this time. A lot of people that I've known for a while, they're starting to get nervous about their money. And I tell them, well, the Lord said they're going to cast that money in the streets. You know, they're going to throw it in the streets. Now they're talking about digital currencies and all of this and getting rid of this. And, you know, they use the word reset and this set. And God ain't resetting nothing. It's going to be brand new. And I thank God for that. But, you know, they talk about these different things. You best know that there's going to come a time you don't have the mark of the beast. You ain't going to buy nor sell. But see, we're about a doctrine right here. We're not even going to have to worry about that. I know it's coming. God tells me it is. But I'm going to see that from a whole different vantage point if I'll see it from a whole different vantage point right now. See, I'm not waiting to get into the midst of the throne to see it from there. I need to see it from there right now. And that's what faith does. Because didn't we start this today? That he hath given, that he hath abounded, that he hath made known, that we have obtained. What am I failing to believe there that I don't have? He said, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Praise God. And not that I've already apprehended, but the one thing I do, I know he's already finished it. And did he not promise, I'll perform the good work which I've begun in you? Well, I'm telling you what, I know what good work he's begun in me. And he's going to perform this to the day of Christ, and I'm going to believe in that grace, and I'm going to believe in his power to do it. So, if this is going to be us soon, then I'll tell you what, he's going to make known to all that he loves us. And he's going to set us in plain view for all to see, and she is going to be, and praise be to God, that's us, we're going to descend from heaven having the glory of God. And I just thank him for that. But before he sets her in plain view, just like the king did, he calls her with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. He is going to call her, praise God, to his side. And that's the beautiful meaning of present to himself. It means to bring one to thy side. I love that. And then you think of the side as well too, which speaks of the rib. So it just continues and continues to the manifold witness of, I'm in love with you. That's all he keeps saying here. I'm in love with you. Do you get this? I'm so in love with you. Would you quit looking here and there? Would you, by the grace of God, just look at me. I'm in love with you. Praise his name. So we thank him for this. Now, let's go on to that second purpose. So that was the first purpose. Up there in verse 9, but now we got a double portion of purpose in verse 11. This is the meaning where it brings back in the shewbread, all right? This literally means shewbread. So in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, according to the purpose or the shewbread of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Isn't that exactly what the Word of God does in your life? It works it perfectly to the counsel of his will. Because what does that bring into our lives by feasting upon that shewbread? Faith. The Word works what? Effectually in them that believe. It's got to be the feeding. It's got to be the golden shewbread. And that's where I thank the Lord. We know that we are in that time, in that sanctuary where we have the golden candlestick. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got this precious little golden table of shewbread. And we sit there and we feast with the lover of our soul in that intimacy of dining upon the strong meat. We're in that church age. It's all golden. We see our picture everywhere in that precious sanctuary, right? Remember the cherubim are on all the curtains? And remember how the structure of it is just, it's just frames of gold. And they're framing, there you are. He just can't get over you. He's got you everywhere. I love you. You're it. You're it. And he's witnessing this to us all the time. You can tell me I'm just nuts. No, the Lord is nuts about you. And if you just read the Word of God, that's exactly what it is. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. As thou hast believed. We need to awaken fully. Fully. This isn't just, again, something that I read on a track rack. This isn't something that, you know, I've went to this church and this is what I know. No, I sat, praise God, with the lover of my soul, and this is what I have received. God quicken us to move into that. Because that truth must be in love. And you must have it. And here he's told you, I freely give it to you. Just praise him for his mercy and his grace. Thank you, Jesus. Now, so we get to this shewbread, the golden doctrine that works it all to his will. And it says here in verse 11 that that's our inheritance that we've obtained. It's ours. We have obtained. It is done. And another thing beautiful about that word obtained, it means chosen for a private possession. Isn't that beautiful? Your inheritance is you've been chosen for a private possession. Now, would that make your heart leap over there that we would be a vessel only for the master's use? See, that's a private possession. See, you're hid away. Amen. And then there'll be a time. He said, in due time, I will exalt you. Praise God. And it'll be for all to see what I have done. But see, our joy and our sustaining and our satisfaction is that we're his private possession, his goodly pearl. And notice what it says here. He predestinated this for us. He predetermined this for us. Because he knew the faith by the grace of God that we would receive of his son in his son. He knew that because he's God. I didn't wind up in another church. I just didn't. You didn't either. It's perfect. God, let me tell you something. He's a perfect God. Just like Pharaoh himself. Yeah, he's going to serve a purpose. It's going to magnify me. He's hardened his heart. Got a place just for him. Right? Those wicked, I appoint them for the day of evil. All things are ours. All things are for our sake. I believe God. Let's believe him. Praise his name. So, it's predestinated, predetermined in Christ, in the rib, down from the shewbread, the golden doctrine of the church age, to him who worketh everything. To him that worketh it all. To him that worketh it all to his will. Praise be to God. We are his workmanship. Think of that. Ephesians 2:10. What's it say there? For we are his workmanship, created where? In Christ Jesus, praise God, unto what? Good works, praise the Lord. When did he make these? Which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein, before the foundation of the world. He tells you it over and over, doesn't he? Isn't that beautiful? And it's all there. And these excellent, these are the most excellent things, these good works that he's created in himself, once again, that we should walk therein. It's all been strewn for us. It's this path, praise God, that he's laid before us that we just walk therein by faith. So we trust him that he will perform the good work which he's begun in us. Amen? And he will. And you think he'll perform it because he created it in himself, these good works that we should walk therein. Once again, I'll perform that which I've begun in you. This is it. This is the purpose from ages past. He hath chose us his private possession, all for the master's use, all in him. Praise God. We just thank him for this and just settle into it. And it's all again for his pleasure. It's all again for his purpose and his desire that he will have his goodly pearl to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. She is grace's praise. And why is she grace's praise? Because she is the product and the evidence and the masterpiece of grace alone. Praise the Lord. It's exactly what it is. You think of like these great, great, incredible diamonds, like the Hope Diamond or whatever. The Hope Diamond would be the praise of diamonds because it's the fulfillment of the most beauty of the diamond. And that doesn't even compare to it, but that's why she is she is grace's praise, because once again, she's the product, she's the evidence, and she is the masterpiece of grace alone. And that's why Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Everything that I am, everything I've ever done, it's because of the grace of God that is with me. It's all of it. So now as we just kind of close our little study tonight, let's go back to Romans 8. And yes, Romans 8, 28. And the Lord just continued to put all this together so sweetly for us. And I don't like to use the word cement because we don't want to just be cemented in. But Lord, let this be a pillar. You know, let us be this pillar in this truth. And here we rejoice together. And I thank God we rejoice and we know this together. And we know in the 28th verse that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So everything about this purpose we've been reading about, everything about this predestinated, this life that we have been given by the grace of God, that he hath abounded, made known, that we've obtained all the excellency of the knowledge and all the fullness of all wisdom and understanding. This is what we've been given. We know that all things work together for good. All those before ordained good works that we should walk therein. It's all good. Everything's good. Everything's working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that's exactly what this gospel has called us to and made us of, this called according to his purpose. And again, he goes on to tell you, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. There it is again, the foreknowledge and predestination, to be conformed the same image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he justified, whom he justified, them he also glorified. To honor and clothe with splendor. There she is. She is clothed with that gown, the righteousness of saints. Praise the Lord. So see, we know this. And why do we know this? Because we know why. He knew this path and purpose of his full glory for us in him. We know this. The Lord foreknew in us. And he before ordained it. Turn on over to Ephesians 2:20. What's it say there? Oh, I love that. Oh, excuse me, 2:10. I apologize. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's what he foreknew. Brothers and sisters, we have a perfect path. We truly do. Perfect appointments is what this means. Hallelujah. And beginning for each one of us, we are all the Rebecca proposed to with all the things of the Master freely given to us. Amen. And then we begin to walk by the leading of the Holy Ghost. And you know what that is? That's a sanctified walk. It's a sanctified walk that takes you out from among the camp unto him. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want you to think about that as we close tonight. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Do we really believe it? Do we believe that it is he alone that writes it? He's alone that writes it. Who but only the author drafts and finishes the masterpiece novel? He has to write this. Praise God. And you know, I was thinking about how we rejoice in like with David in his life. David's life is the word of God. Our life is the word of God. He is writing this in us. Amen. David lived that life, you understand this, of the word of God written in his life, which is the word of God. And here we are, praise God, living our life. And this word, praise God, is being written of us. And praise the Lord, it's written. Nothing's going to be added to it, but we're reading about. David, praise God, lived. It was written later on, in a sense, that people would read. By the grace of God, this has been written, and now we live it. It's an amazing thing. It's just like those, they look forward to Christ being crucified. We look back. But yet it always was and always is. And now my brain just blew up, but I just believe it all by faith. Get on that camel train, honeys, and just let's go. Let's go, let's go, let's go. So, we all here tonight with Paul, we say this in Ephesians 1. 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We sure thank the Father for this, don't we? Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love. And God willing, I think we'll, if Jesus tarry, we'll be back over in 2 Timothy next week. I know you probably know already where we'll be there in some purpose. And we'll have one or two more studies in this. And yet, I know all the studies we'll ever have will be in that purpose, praise God, by His grace. So, thanks be to God. Let's stand, be dismissed. Hallelujah.